Just one second. Put all my USB devices in here so that I leave them all here with one fell swoop. All right. Mainly the reason we could easily do this just from looking at the text, but I did have some visuals in here that I thought might help us understand, help bring a few of the points that is here to life. The battle belongs to the Lord. I'm glad we sang it because I couldn't imagine doing this class and not singing that song, and I suspect we'll sing that song every time. If not, that would be a good suggestion. But go ahead and open your Bible to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 14 and 15. And there's a few things, and as I was looking through, I kind of felt sorry for whoever comes next because there's a lot of repetition. But it's okay. We need a lot of repetition in this area. Because there's a lot of things that will challenge our faith, but this is some of the things that teach us. We can look back to the scriptures and we can be taught, even as discouraging as things may seem, that God has it all under control. So now, we know the general idea. Okay.
I'll move this over here.
All right. We know the general idea of everyone leaving Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, and coming out to the other side, and the travels that Israel did after God had brought the plagues on the land and they were kicked out of the land. So let's just start off tonight with, if it's time to leave Egypt and go to Jerusalem, go to Israel, to the promised land that God had given them, if I was sitting in Egypt and I was to put into my Waze app or my Google Maps app and said, take me to Jerusalem, how would it take me? Have you thought about the path that they went on versus the path that would be the closest distance between two points is what? Straight line. So Waze would say, hey, let's just go up here and let's jump on the way of the sea. Right? Highway, way of the sea. And let's go right up. Or maybe it could be congested. He'd say, okay, let's grab the way of sure and go on up. Which way did they go? You notice they came down here, come all the way down through the Mount Sinai, and then back up and around. So the first question is, why did they go this way? If you don't know, flip back to chapter 13 and verse 17, and God tells us why they went this way. If they had gone up the way of the sea, they got up to Gaza, who would have been the first people they would have faced? You got the Philistines. Right? And probably not a lot different. You got the Amorites. You come down, you come around the way of Shur, and you come back up into Hebron from the bottom side. You still got fairly formidable armies. In chapter 3, verse 17, what was it that God said that for the reason that he didn't want to take the direct route?
Because it was a shorter way back.
Well, that's a good way to put it. A shorter way back or right. Because they're going to get scared. They're going to hit this army. They're going to get scared. And they're going to go right straight back to what, Gary?
Well, they're going to want to go back to Egypt. Because they're going to think that they had it a lot nicer in Egypt. Which they end up doing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Which they end up doing anyway. But it would have been a quick way to do it. So the second question I have, just to set the mind for tonight, in chapter 3 and verse 13 and verse 21, how are they guided? How did they know what was their ways out? What was Google Map leading them through? Boy, if you're not willing to talk, it's going to be a long
answer. The answer is God.
God? In the form of?
Pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night.
Pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Again, though, but think about this from how fearful it must be that you're the Israelites and you're jumping out of the land and you're going off and you're going where you don't know to go. Much like Abraham was told, you're about to go to a land and to a country that you don't know. Just go where I tell you to go. Okay. Now, you're a group of 1.5 million people, and now you're going to go the way I tell you to go. See that cloud? See that pillar of cloud? If it's not a pillar of fire that's up there, follow it wherever it goes.
Is that a little disconcerting? Typically, when I'm going on a trip, I want to know where I'm at, where I'm going, how I'm going to get there. Because I want to know that I've got enough gas. I want to make sure that I know where the gas stations are to stop at. I want to make sure I've got enough food. I want to make sure I have enough water. So, and I can't imagine people that different then. I imagine this took a lot of people by surprise. Just go follow the cloud. Where the cloud goes, you go. So, just to let us see a little bit of topography, I love Google Maps for a couple of reasons. This one, okay, you see this green across the Nile River and up as you get up into the plains there. What do you think the green is? It's where there's actually some trees on this map, right? If I was to superimpose the map, the path they took, what are they traveling through?
Desert.
This would be where a modern-day prison, a modern-day police station is, on one of the roads, like through the area where they would have been traveling by foot. So forget the modern police station here. Look at the terrain behind it. By foot. Now you're Moses, 1.5 million people. You're responsible for 1.5 million people traveling on foot, no promise of food or water, and here we go. And we're setting out through this type of terrain. But now for just a moment, I want you to think with me on a statement. God comes to you and he has something to tell you. He wants to tell you through Moses, I am going to use you to gain honor over Pharaoh, over all of his army, and that Egypt will know that I am the Lord. How are you feeling about that statement? God's going to use me to show Pharaoh, I got this. Feeling pretty good? And there a little bit of building up, almost even a little bit of pride. God's going to use me to go show Pharaoh that he will know who God is, so that he may know that I am the Lord. So at first, this sounds pretty good. This is chapter 14, 1 through 3. And what other things has happened to where they should have faith in God by now already? We've already had some things to build their faith up. Name some of them. The plagues. Get toward the end of the plagues. What transition started happening in the plagues? At first, they happened to everybody, but as you started going through, what's happened? Started happening over there, but not happening over here. Right? Okay, God's got this. And then, with the death of the firstborn, you'll notice we're going to look at it in just a minute. God tells them first what's going to happen, and then he goes and does it. With the death of the firstborn, go do this. Have the Passover meal. And I'm sending my death angel through. What happens? He sends his death angel through. They go out. Not only do they go out, what are the Egyptians doing? Giving them everything they got. Here, take this, go, go. So they left with great possessions. So if you think about this, they just looted the people. They've just been told, I'm going to use you to show Pharaoh that I am the Lord. They feeling pretty good? Verse 8. Somebody read verse 8 for me for just a second.
The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness.
Now that last phrase, went out with boldness, Steve may have a different opinion. There's a bit of a debate of whether this is their boldness going out or whether this is God's high hand carrying them out. I think it's a little bit of both, because if God's high hand is carrying you out and you're going out by miracle, what's your countenance going to be? Right? You're going to wake up, your head's going to be up, everything is going to be great, because all of these things God has just done for you, he's delivered you from the land. Could things be going much better? At this point in time, things can't be going much better. And he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the Sea of Galilee, because when you go to the Red Sea, because when you go to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's going to think that you've gotten lost in the wilderness. I'm going to harden his heart, and he's going to come attack you. This is back to 1 through 3, and I'm going to use you to show Pharaoh that so that he will know that I am the Lord. So up to this point, what have they done? They fulfill. Even says, he said it, they did it. So they're fulfilling the script. God's got this. God's about to show Pharaoh. Everything was great to this point. Have you ever walked out toward a sea or an ocean, and you can't see the other side? This is also from Google Maps. I just kind of approximated guess kind of where they would cross over the Red Sea. And I kind of got myself on the seashore looking toward the other side. Can I see the other side? Okay, I'm Moses. I got 1.5 million people trying to get to the other side. And here I stand. As I look behind me, no, not a modern resort, but this is the best I could do to get good pictures. Yeah, they all had a room. But look at the terrain behind you. Now, on all of that terrain behind you is the Egyptians and the army. What's beginning to happen to your psyche? Well, if you go down verse 10, it's pretty clear. After they drew near, what did the people do? They begin to cry out. And back to Gary's point, what do they cry out? Were there no graves in Egypt? Was there not any graves back in Egypt? Things were so good back in Egypt, and they'll do this time and time again. Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not what we told you back in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to die serving the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness. How quick things can change. Now, we look at them and we say, okay, they panicked. They failed. And we look at them and go, and how in the world did they do this? Have you ever found yourself in a very similar situation? God's got this. I know God's got this. I got the faith. He's got this. He's got this. And then I find myself with a sea in front of me, harsh territory behind me. And on that harsh territory behind me, the enemy is beginning to encroach and beginning to gather around. What does that begin to do to you? Right? Based on this, do you think they might have had a little different picture of the how God was going to use them to teach Egypt a lesson? Because, you know, if it was me, I could be thinking of all kinds of great ways that God was going to use me to defeat Egypt, right? He's going to have them come up and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wave my hand at them. They're going to all fall down or something, right? But don't we do that? When God says, hey, this is what I'm going to do, we start developing the way we foresee this playing out. And I don't think there was an Israelite one in this encampment that visualized this. Sea in front of me, mountain behind me, army behind me. That's not how any of them pictured this thing playing out. Again, can you transport yourself? This is not how. Something must have gone wrong. We must have missed God's plan. Something must have been gone wrong, because this can't be how God is going to do this. I think we have. I've been guilty. Anybody here not? This is not how God is going to. Something, he's got to have something else about us. Okay? Somebody else who knows what I'm reading, read 13 and 14.
And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.
Now, again, we haven't talked as much about Moses, but again, we have mentioned a time or two, you're Moses. There's 1.5 million people following you around, looking to you. Do you think when Moses looked at the ocean in front of him and the mountain behind him, the armies coming up behind him, we don't see any indication that there was any doubt in what God was planning to do with Moses, at least at this point. But again, that thought would have had to have weighed pretty heavily. How are we going to get out of this? What's wrong with that statement? How are we going to get out of this? We aren't going to get out of this. And when we're facing similar type situations on earth, we're probably not going to get out of this. God is going to get out of this. But notice what he says. Do not be afraid. Easy for you to say. Look behind us, right? Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you want to actually come up and say, this is your theme for the semester, see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. Right? All right. You don't even have to fight this battle. God is going to fight this battle. And I almost like this last phrase as well, and you shall hold your peace. Now, I don't know if this is a bit of a, can I feel like this is a little bit of a rebuke toward Moses, a Moses toward the people, and you just stand there and watch it. You're going to hold your peace and see this happen, right? Whatever it is, we can go back up to where he says, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. And this is a great one, for the battle belongs to the Lord. And then, if you look down in the next few verses, starting in verse 15,
Have you ever had those questions that make you feel really, really small? You know, I've had people in my life that they could ask a question, and I immediately shrink. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Have I not, you know, why do you cry to me? Why would God be asking him that question? Maybe because I've already told you what I was going to do. This is going just as according to plan. If you go down in verse 15, tell the children of Israel to go forward. But first, lift up the rod, stretch out your hand. Just tell the people to go forward. Well, if we go back to that picture, a few back, what was forward? Yeah. Go forward. Wait a minute. Forward is a problem. Pick up, take your rod, tell the people to go forward. So for the second time, he tells them what he's going to do. He tells them to get up. He said, take your rod, stretch it out over the sea, and it will divide. And tell the children of Israel, go forward on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of Egypt, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then Egypt saw, and they, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So here you go, Moses. Y'all go forward. Lift your rod up over the sea and watch the sea part. Take yourself, if you can, take yourself back in time. And take yourself back, and you're one of this 1.5 million people. And just think about all the things that's happening in front of you right now. God says, go forward. There's a sea in front of me. Moses stretches out his rod over the sea, and the sea parts. Does that happen? That don't happen. The sea doesn't just part that way. And they're still, at this point, you think they're probably still getting used to the cloud, the pillar of fire by day, the pillar of fire by night. Not a common occurrence. Does that normally happen? That doesn't normally happen. And now, the angel of the Lord moves from in front of them to where? Behind them. Or between them and the Egyptians. Now, I don't know that there is anything other than the pillar of cloud. They would have seen the pillar of cloud move. And Steve is right. Those are two separate. I mean, you know, you got two separate entities. They're talked about as two separate entities here. The angel of the Lord moves to the back. Then the pillar and the pillar of cloud and the fire moves back behind them, in between them. And now it's night, but the fire is doing what? Lighting it up so that it's what for them? Day. What is it for the Egyptians behind? So dark they can't move. They can't break camp. They're stuck because of this pillar of cloud that's behind them, that's giving light in front, darkness in the back. The angel of the Lord, their protector, the one who leads them, now is doing what he does. He's standing between them and the enemy. The battle belongs to the Lord, right? The Lord's got this battle. He says, now, walk forward. And I, you know, as they're walking forward, as the Red Sea parts and they're taking off and they're going across, think a minute about what it would be to be in the middle of that. Because remember, you couldn't see the other outside. Caleb, you're a pretty good swimmer. Do you want to swim across when you can't see the other side? You know, I thought the 75 yards for a Boy Scout was a pretty easy swim, so I tried 75 yards, and that ain't very easy, right? I was in a pool and said, Lee fussed about it, so I was in a pool. I said, I'm going to do this. And I went, whoa, that is not that hard. Now, walk, dry ground. Now, I also picture as they're going across, there's little ones that are going, you know, how wide this was, I don't know. But we do know that it was a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left. And I could even picture the little curious little toddlers going, you know, what happens when I put my finger in that, right? But you're traveling through. Now, we've got all this happening before us that would probably just emotionally taken us back because these are a bunch of things happening that don't normally happen. Now let's think for a moment as we go to cross this, how would we have responded? I am quite sure there was the whole crowd. And we see the whole the next chapter, chapter 15, is kind of devoted to them going, wow. If you ever want to know what the proper use of the word awesome is, this is the proper use of the word awesome. This Red Sea has parted, and this huge east wind has blown on. I parted the sea, and I'm walking across this on dry ground. But from what we know of them previous to this, what do you think about the faith of some? Think there was any warriors in that crowd? What's the warrior saying? What if that wind stops? Right? The whole way across, they're failing to, in some way, and I'm not saying this bad. I've been there. Where the whole way across, well, God's taking me across a great challenge. I can't enjoy and see the power of the challenge or the power of God for going, what if the east wind stops? If the east wind stops, what happens? The water crushes, right? There's nothing here that's going to go on. I got science going, this is wrong by nature. I'm going to get halfway into this thing, and what's going to happen? Nature's going to go back to normal. I'm not going to make it to the other side. Do you think that was going on in the middle of this? I don't know. We're not really told. We just say they cross the Red Sea and they get to the other side. But based on their history before, that we have a little bit of, and a lot of their history after, I bet there was a lot of this kind of doubting going on as they're walking through. And if we was to take that same kind of concept today and say, okay, we might have to replace the Red Sea with something else, like he's baptized will be saved, right? Something we can't see, something we can't feel, something that does water wash away sins? Well, that's one of the illustrations that's made in Scripture. No, water itself does not wash away sins, but what God will do will defeat sin. Well, how's Satan going to be defeated? Well, God's revealed how he's going to defeat Satan. Does that happen in normal life? No, that doesn't happen in normal life. What is the dividing factor in this case? What divides these two situations? Faith. And it's kind of pretty extraordinary kind of faith, because this is not how any of them would have picked to do it. And not only is this not how any of them would have picked to get themselves out of this problem, this is the way that their minds couldn't even conceive of getting out of this problem. So, one of the other things I love, and I kind of glanced down through the stories that you've got going over the next few weeks, with this one, and at the other end, think about the walls of Jericho. Think about this one. They get to the other side. The captain of the army stands up and says, look what we just did. Is there any way to look back and go, look what we just did? Is there any doubt whatsoever who just did this? Right? We're going to come back to a couple more thoughts about this a little bit later, but most of the things, most of the miracles God does when he's showing his power this way, at the end of the day, there is zero doubt who did this, who did what. And they get it for just a little bit. If you go to the very last verse, somebody else read verse 31. We won't read all of chapter 15, but read verse 31.
Israel saw the great power of the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses.
Two very important points there at first. They feared the Lord? How could you not after what you just saw? Right? And they believed the Lord. What is that a really good definition of? That's about as good of a definition of faith outside of Hebrews 11:1 that I know of. It's this verse where it said they saw what happened, they feared the Lord, they believed the Lord. So we would hope and say if something like this, the next obstacle that comes up, they've got it. They fear the Lord, they believe the Lord, and everything's perfect with the next obstacle. No, probably not, right? We know the story. It's not going to be that way. But again, that's also what this faith is. But faith has actually been able to see beyond this. Sad thing is, does it last? What happens when they get into the wilderness? They start running out of bread. They start running out of water. Does it kind of sound like when they start running out of bread and running out of water, chapter 14, verse 31 is long gone by that point? Is there a lesson there for us? right? We see the power of the Lord. And after we separate ourselves a little bit from the power of the Lord and life starts happening to us again, what happens? The power of the Lord kind of shrinks away. And now there's this other problem. And when I fail to this other problem, it sounds like I'm saying that the problem is bigger than God. This is bigger. God can't handle this one, right? We're out of water. We looked at the terrain earlier. We're out of water. We're in the middle of the desert. God can't handle this one. Well, he handled it just like he handled all the others. But one of the other things that I wanted to kind of point to with this one, all the way up when they get to Jericho, had the people here heard what had happened? It is almost as if there are times that the nations around them get who God is better than the people who are going through it. Right? Now, they're going through it day to day. They're facing all the obstacles day to day. These people around are just hearing what God did. They're hearing these instances of what God did for them. But there are times it appears that they actually get it better than the nation. The nations around do get it better than they do. So some parting thoughts. I think some things that I take away from this is, do I have the faith to follow God's ways when it doesn't match my ways? They're sitting here. The reason I ask you that question, if you as one of the Israelites and you as deciding whether you can go up the way of Shur or you can go down south and go, you know, a few hundred miles and 40 years out of your way, wouldn't have been 40 years if their faith would have been in place, but going to go a long way to get there, which would have been my way? And would I ever have knowingly ran into a dead end into the Red Sea with an army behind me? So, God, if I'm mapping this out, this over here is a much better option. God teaches them a pretty good lesson. Teaches us a pretty good lesson. Because do you see there's a lot of people around us that says, hey, there's a better way for this salvation thing to work. Right? There's a better way for this. You're worshiping this way. There's a better way for this to work. Do we have the faith to be satisfied with God's way when man's way sounds more exciting? Do we have the faith to be satisfied with God's way when it doesn't match what I think? I struggle with this sometimes. No, that's just not how this should work. And I have to read the passage again. That's just not how this should work. And thankfully today, it's gotten through my head. After a few times, no, that's how this works. I don't have to understand God's way. Prophets say that God's way is, with respect to ours, much, much higher than our ways. Did God show Israel? Do they know who the Lord is now? After this story? Would they, if they had gone the way of Shur? Philistines might. But would Egypt? God's way don't always match my way. Do I have the faith to go with him? Even when it differs. And one of the things that's also great for our faith is he wins the battles in ways that no one can look back. After they march around the wall 7 times, how many times before that or after that in history has a wall ever fallen by people marching around it? Right? Is there any way they can look back and say, look what I did? No. God did that. And with every one of these stories we'll be studying, there's no way they can look back and say, look what we did. And this is also a big one. When scary things start to happen, think spiritual, not physical. I hope Steve won't mind me picking on him a little bit here, but I can't imagine when cancer... I know through having my wife hear the word cancer and hearing the word cancer from my wife... This becomes tough to think spiritual, not physical. When things start happening, things start getting scary. Cancer, death. No, God's bigger than this. God's got this. Right? Don't know what the answer might be, but when scary things start happening, think spiritual, not physical. Sadly, I don't know that I can ever point to many times that the Israelites in this wandering ever got that point. Right? Some did. I think Moses truthfully said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. I think Moses firmly believed, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. He had the ability to think spiritual, not physical. And the last one, if probably should be better said if I wasn't typing so fast. If I'm on God's side, who can stand against me? But if God's on your side, I mean the same thing by that, right? If I'm in alignment with God, if God is on my side, who can stand against me? And I say this kind of plays its way out as they start, even in Jericho and even in the places before. Most of the battle was won before they even got there because the people were petrified of what this God had done for his people beforehand. When God's on your side, he's got it. He's got this taken care of. What did I miss that you may have?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we can learn from this is just as we're sitting here discussing this, you know, you think about, we say the Israelites and we think every single one of them, right? I mean, there was over a million, right? So there had to be varying thought processes as they're walking through, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how it would be any different.
Which one would, right? I be?
Yeah. I'm walking through and there's this wall. I've always thought of it way over my head, right? And I can imagine doubt going into my mind,
sure,
as I keep walking, right? So I'm walking. And I think when I think about that, it's there had, and I know the scripture doesn't say it, so I want to be careful what I say, but there were probably people that were walking around going, we got this, we got this. But it seems like more people were going, no, we don't. And I think what, like I said, I can't say that was happening. But we got to make sure we're the people walking around in our environment saying, we got this.
Yes.
Whatever the situation that we may be facing, right? And that's where we just got to continue to do what we alone can do. And then we've got to maintain our faith, right? And there may be times when, you know, we may be walking across this Red Sea and others may not, but we've got to continue to do what we think God is directing us to do. And that's one thing that came into my mind is, and a lot of times I'm guilty too, is I just lump the Israelites as a whole. But you think a million people, I mean, there had to be some people with, you know, seeing what they saw in Egypt and all that, there had to be some people I know God can do this. But it seems like that there were more voices saying, God can't do this, what are we going to do? And so I think one thing and I think even Moses at the time was, you know, I mean, when I was reading this where, you know, here Moses is saying, don't be afraid, stand still, see the vision. And then, but God says to him, said to Moses, why do you cry to me?
Yeah.
Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And so it seems like that God was expecting Moses to take the lead and go, listen, I don't know what's going to happen, but I have faith that God is going to lead us through this, and he's telling us to go that way. I'm going to go this way, and I want you to follow me. And it seems like there was hesitation on Moses' side, and God's hitting him on the hand going, why are you crying out to me? You just need to go. All right? And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. But,
well,
you know, just sitting here reading through that, it's all these people, and just trying to put ourselves in that situation, a million people, and all these people talking back, what's going on? And Moses needed to stand up, and God was saying, Moses, you didn't stand up. I need you to stand up. And he does, after he gets that direction, right? And I think where God is telling us is we need to stand up. And then that we need to take the examples that God has given us and stand up. Right? Even when the crowd around us is going, there's no way, we're lost, all that. No, God is in control. We're going in the direction that God has directed us. And we're going to continue in that. I'm going to continue in that. And I want you to follow me. And just start walking.
And just start going. We know, go forward a little bit. We had if we use the 13 spies as an example and extrapolate and come back to how people are, there's Joshua's and Caleb's in that group, right? There was Joshua and Caleb's that says, come on, I've seen, you know, the Lord's got this, we got it, let's go. And there was the other spies as well, right, that went away scared. And that's probably true here. It is probably true with everyday life. Now, to take what you said, I'm going to go wherever the pillar is going. Right? Wherever this cloud, this pillar is taking me, God's way. I'm going to go there whether I understand what's going to happen or not. And I think that's kind of, you know, what he was saying, Moses,
but
you just
going, Going back to the story and from that analogy, the cloud's behind.
At this point, the cloud's behind. I know.
So, I mean, I'm just sitting here. You think about it. I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, when the priest took, and they, you need to cross the Jordan. And right when they stepped in, what happened? The waters, right? And that, I think, you know, now that I'm, maybe that's what God was expecting Moses to do is, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to keep walking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
And I don't want to add to the scripture, believe
right.
But you know, when you think about, you know, I really try and, you know, and I, you know, we need to learn from the lessons that God has given us and everything. But I think I stated, I know Brother Steve states it and everything. Sometimes we're guilty of the exact same thing, but we're easy to point the finger and go, look at what those Israelites did.
And that's what's so great about the study.
We're guilty of the exact same thing.
And one other thing you said that I kind of want to highlight, well, you didn't say it this way, but it sparked it for me, was faith does not remove fear. I don't care how much faith I have that God's got this. The human body has chemical reactions that happens when you find yourself in a situation that is fearful. And I'm sorry, walking between two walls of water that's not supposed to happen by nature. I've got a feeling that's fearful, right? But what happens when I'm face to face with fear, forgive me, and I know it's behind them, but you follow the cloud. Yeah. Right. I follow the cloud one step at a time.
Well, there's a difference with being fearful in the middle of the sea and keeping on walking and being fearful and never taking a step into the sea. Right.
And if you had have and never taken, if fear froze you to the point you never took a step into the sea, you would have been left for Israel. Egypt when it was over. Excellent. Anything else? What else?
I just think that we're going to see, as we've seen in this study tonight, maybe in all of these studies, that God gets us to where he wants us to be in the most improbable of ways. And it's only by allowing him to direct us that we're going to get there. And it's not going to be because we can do it. In fact, it's going to be because we can't. We're going to look at something and God said this, and I'm going to say, I don't think I can do that. And God's basically saying, you're right, you can't, but you follow me and it'll happen. I think that's, the Israelites, of course, a lot of these did not ever learn that lesson fully. They experienced these things, but they never learned to, God's leading them to where he wants them to be, where he's promised to take them. And that's kind of what faith is. And so a lot of this study this semester, I hope, will help us increase our faith, even when we're facing difficulties, obstacles, enemies, problems that we think are insurmountable, and yet God has promised to be with us. The other thing, and you may have been going to say something about this, but I want to mention this, the song in chapter 15, is alluded to in Revelation 15. In heaven itself, they sing the song of Moses, which is a victory song that God has given us the victory. When we have faith and we rely on his power and strength, and it's if we ever, you know, when we are in heaven, that will be the song. You know,
yes.
One of the songs.
One of the songs.
Yeah. That it's a song of God. God delivered us. He did that, and all we did was.
Son of Moses in the land. Yeah. No, I did not. I wish I had that in my notes, but I did not have that in my notes.
Good job.
And is it fair to say that he leads us all the way up to the choice and then leads the choice for us? You know, that's when, as you were saying, he let them up, parted the waters, but I don't think there was anything that made them physically walk in and go. And he does that quite a bit too. He prepares the way, he opens the waters and says, will you cross? But does not force you to cross. All right. Anything else closing? Especially from the really quiet ones?
No.
All right, guys. Thank you. Caleb?
Okay. Thank you all y'all for showing up again.
prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for us to be able to come up tonight and learn more about your word. God, we ask that you please be with all those in the countries who wish to do this sort of thing but aren't able to, and to help us remain humble and thankful for that. God, we ask that you please be with all those who are sick, those who are traveling this week, to please be with them. And please forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I know we're competing with the Pepper Road gospel meeting tonight, but I'm sure we can get